One of the things I find most fascinating about this new industry where technology, cooking, and the kitchen come together is the people. In particular, their backstories and where they came from. Just a couple episodes ago, I talked to Darren Bancroft, who had worked in the world of software and IT coming out of Microsoft and Amazon, but had developed a love for food and precision cooking, having spent much of the last decade hanging out at sites like eGullet. And now Darren is a chief scientist for Heston Q. And then there's Eric Norman, who, unlike Darren, didn't work in the world of IT or software, but instead came out of the world of car manufacturing, having worked in Japan for Toyota in product development for much of his career. But like Darren, he developed a love for cooking and cuisine and soon took his product development skills honed to making cars and applied it towards making a new precision cooking device called the Cinder. The reason I wanted to catch up with Eric is I talked to him over a year ago, back when he had just announced the Cinder Precision Cooker. Now, a year later, they're about ready to ship, and I wanted to hear how things had gone and what he had learned. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you haven't already subscribed to the Smart Kitchen Show, please do so on iTunes. We've also announced our agenda and speakers for the Smart Kitchen Summit in October. Check those out at smartkitchensummit.com. And if you want to come to the summit, use the discount code PODCAST for 10% off tickets. All right, let's talk to Eric. Welcome to the Smart Kitchen Show. My name is Mike Wolf. The Smart Kitchen Show is a podcast about the kitchen, technology, and food, and the story of a conference that brings all those things together. I'm your host, Michael Wolf, and I put this podcast together because in the process of creating the Smart Kitchen Summit, I've been meeting lots of great folks that I thought you should hear from too. If you'd like to listen to more Smart Kitchen shows, you can find them in iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. The Smart Kitchen Summit will be back in 2016 on October 5th and 6th in Seattle. If you'd like to go, just go to smartkitchensummit.com. for more information. And now, on to the show. Hey, well, we have with us today Eric Norman, the CEO of Cinder, the makers of the Cinder Precision Cooker. Eric, we caught up about a year ago. You guys made a lot of progress since we last talked.
We talked right around our initial public launch. That's right, about a year ago. And we've been here on the product development, getting it ready to ship, and really excited that that's coming in just a few months.
I checked back in with you guys because I had seen your blog post, kind of very detailed for us nerds. We like that about the tooling. And yeah, I had some nice CAD drawings. it's a complicated process creating a device like this, and you guys are kind of at that very delicate stage, taking it from, you know, prototypes to full production, and that's where you're at right now.
Yeah, that's right. We're really at the point where a product that costs several thousand dollars we made by hand turns into a product that we can sell for a few hundred and bring to the masses. You know, I'm also a nerd about these things. You know, mass production is one of the great things of our current economy, right? That's why everybody can buy a Toyota Corolla. Otherwise, the cars would still cost as much as a Ferrari does. So it's really an interesting process. And I guess we've just gotten feedback from our customers that people want to know more about what's going on. And, you know, our team is pretty... you know, we've done this part before, so we kind of like sharing. And for me, the new part is doing this as a startup out of very limited resources. So it's kind of fun to do your best to make it work and avoid any landfalls. So I'm glad you were enjoying reading it.
We'll jump into the specifics of the Cinder Cooker and talk about the space a little bit. Very quickly, though, your background, like you said, this is the first time you've done this at a startup. Where tell the folks where you were before.
Yeah, I started my career at Toyota Motors. And I went to the headquarters in Japan, and I was there for a few years doing product development. It was so exciting to be there. There's always this activity, new cars on the test track, and all the various types of engineering. You know, that automobile is one of the most complex products we use on a daily basis, and then you've got to build it 1,000 times a day. So the manufacturing is also difficult. It's just a great joy that you go to the factory, you see this big roll of steel come in one side, and then you watch it all the way through. It gets welded and painted and assembled and then tested, and there's a car. So, you know, I've always liked building things. And now with electronics have gotten much simpler. So that's Arduino, all this maker movement is what's allowed me to build on the physical product and really bring something that's sort of magical. It's what we can do with Cinder is very magical. We'll talk more about that.
So one of the things I like about this industry is like we're getting a lot of people coming from all stages in all different areas. I mean, I think you're the first, though, I have to tell you, the first person that I've heard jump from the car industry into precision cooking. So that's a new one. And hence the car analogies.
Yeah, we all like cars. We always talk about it. You know, we say we want this to be a BMW. You know, you can save up and afford it, but you know, we want it to be pretty much accessible. Yeah, it's you know, physical product is physical product. So Cinder is actually very complicated. If you're in the electronics, if you came out of Silicon Valley, you're probably electrical engineer, consumer electronics focused. And so difficulties of building consumer electronics, one is size. You're doing a wearable. It's very small. That's tough. One is battery. That's also tough. We don't have those, but we have heat and we have mechanical. And electronics really don't like heat. So that's been a big thing to overcome.
Let's talk about the precision cooker itself, because it's a precision cooking device, you know, which we've seen kind of this movement towards precision cooking. A lot of people are probably most familiar with it through sous vide circulators. You know, we're seeing kind of these new generation of like smart pans, for example, and other cooking systems. Talk about your system. It is a little bit unique, I think. It's this device with a precision cooking surface, but also you have a cover for it so you can do sous vide. It's an interest. Explain the concept.
Yeah, thank you. I first learned, I had this life-changing salmon. If you've had low-temperature salmon, you know what I mean. It melts in your mouth. It's not sushi. It's not cooked. And you want to make this at home, but you can't. It takes special tools. And at the time, this was around 2012, there were very expensive sous vide machines, or Scott, the Seattle Food Geek, had his do-it-yourself version. And that's where we started. But we found the results are amazing with sous vide, really good results. I still use it today. But the process was a little complicated. And we kind of stepped back and thought about it a little more. And what we were able to do is separate the process of cooking from the results of precision temperature. And that's really what sous vide gives you. You've got this very nice control of temperature. We've done the same thing in a form factor that's more accessible. People are used to an electric grill, a panini press, and it turns out there are a lot of advantages. It heats up very quickly. You know, if you're doing some water, it can take a while, 20 minutes or 40 minutes. You know, Cinder takes 1 minute to get to steak temperature. And the thing that sort of blew our mind was that at higher temperatures, you get very similar reactions, and we can make you cook 10 times better than you are. So here's an example. Mike, do you know how to sweat garlic?
I don't think I've ever sweated garlic.
So sweating garlic allows the flavors to bloom and makes your food much more tasty. And you may never have done it. You may not know what it is. But now with Cinder, you can. It is a temperature. It's 225 degrees. A couple minutes, you're done. We can do this in software. You can pull up your app, and you can say, sweat, garlic, done. So it really enables you to become a better cook than you maybe ever thought you could be or had time to be.
Let's break down the system a little bit. I think the description of the form factor of like the panini press, that I think it's a good description because you have the lid, but you have the precision cooking surface, you have the software. Kind of break down what you're getting and how you kind of make the magic with the Cinder cooker.
Yeah, so getting the cooking plate to be precise is very complicated. So we've developed new technology in the cooking plate. The heating element is embedded, temperature sensor is embedded, and then we've surrounded the cooking chamber. So it's kind of like an oven. Otherwise, you have cold ambient air coming in and the sides of the food get cold. It really does function like a grill, though. The majority of the heat comes through the cooking plates that contact through conduction, and the heat goes into the food. So the control system has been very complex, though. So it's very complex electronics and software that is powering this. But what's kind of exciting as a consumer is that's this base. You have this precise digital base now, and now you can control it, and now you can run programs. And it's smart, right? It knows how thick your food is. It can adjust to each cut of steak. So you've got really for the first time what could be called the digital kitchen. And that means you can download a recipe, you can replicate it exactly. You can cook it again, it's exactly the same. And it really comes from this fact that every unit is the same. So it used to be, you know, you look at a recipe and it says, you know, try this 5 times, good luck if you can make it work in the 10th time. Because each oven is different, right? This corner is a little colder, mine is 5 degrees low, and that's going away, and it's very exciting.
Talk about where you see yours fitting in kind of the broader spectrum. I mean, some of the trends we've been talking about and writing about, obviously, are precision cooking. There's this idea of, you know, guided cooking where you have the magic of like an app and maybe some visual guidance. You have the sensors kind of understanding a little bit more what's going on with the cook itself. Do you guys see yourself maybe with some – who are your peers in this space, or do you guys see yourself as a little bit differentiated?
That's a great question. I see kind of three groups. One is the existing players, General Electric, Samsung. They've got products in the markets. They see connected devices are coming, but they're sort of going technology first. So they take the oven and they add Wi-Fi, and then they look for a use case. Or put a tablet on the refrigerator, look for a use case. So maybe it says, oh, now we can maintain our recipe. I can track my inventory, my shopping list. But what we've done is kind of the opposite. If I start from scratch and I say, I want to make a better shopping list, you know, I probably won't come up with a tablet on my refrigerator. And that's kind of what we have done here with the cooking. We realize it's about the temperature, so what's the best way to get that to people? And I think there's a few others who are doing this. Aliso, very interesting. Yep. It's sous vide on induction, but then they've added the capability to sear. So they're starting to get to high temperature precision. Pantelligent, what's very interesting is this thing called Autopilot. I don't know if you've seen
that. They added that. They added that capability through software.
Yeah, so that's really great. That's sort of the same thing we are getting at. And that's exciting. Then I think in the sous vide world, what's interesting is a lot of the players were making scientific products. So they were already making circulators for a different purpose. So what you saw is then them getting cheaper and cheaper and a little more friendly for the consumer. But I think the mindset might be a little different. So if you're coming from the scientific world, you know, imagine you're in a lab, you're wearing gloves, you're dealing with nasty chemicals, everything's in a bag. It's big and bulky, like that makes sense. But if you take that product and put it in your kitchen, maybe that's not exactly what you want. At kitchen, you're relaxed. You want good design. You want fast food. So there seems to be kind of a different, maybe newer group that's sort of coming at it from a slightly different aspect. So what we think about is how do we help you cook better and what technology can we apply? What scientific cooking food science principles can we apply? But our goal is really to help you cook 10 times better so you can live a better life and feel more confident, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, there's just a variety of different approaches. I like what you guys are doing. I like the top. There's, like you said, the Pantelligent, really kind of the most well-known, I think, at this point, Smart Pan. There's Heston Q, which is kind of creating a modular system, kind of like Aliso, but you know they have a Bluetooth-connected pan or pot. It's a really interesting time.
Yeah, isn't it? It is really exciting. It's kind of similar to the homebrew computer revolution. You know, you had this back then. There was this work, the Whole Earth catalog, and then there were these kind of makers, do it yourself, and then the Apple II came out. And here we have the same thing. Nathan Myhrvold writes Modernist Cuisine, this explosion of understanding of food science, and then people are tinkering, and now you're seeing kind of the next generation come around.
Yeah, we're having him at our event. I was pretty excited. Oh, when we confirmed Nathan, I'm like, all right, we have the guy who's kind of kicked a lot of this off coming to talk about it. So I can't wait to get his opinion really on what he's seeing out there.
Yeah, he really did. He did a great job. That book is just magnificent.
So when you're talking about your product, you guys are getting close. I think you said it's a $200 price point now. When are we going to see it? When it can actually buy one of these things and test it out?
Yeah, so Cinder will be $299 when $299. It is in order.
Okay, got it.
So it's we still have a little pre-order discount going on.
Yep.
And we're shipping the first units in August, and then we're going down the list. So it's pretty exciting. We want to get it out there. We want to get feedback as quickly as possible. And do a little bit of beta testing now on the earlier units. So it's getting very close.
And you guys didn't do – you did pre-orders. I don't think you did a Kickstarter though, right?
Correct. We were so early. We kind of just kept it on our website so that we could. We really just wanted to gauge is there interest. We went through the Y Combinator program, and they really encouraged us to launch a little bit earlier than we were planning to just to confirm that there is a demand. So, you know, if you were a larger company, you might have launched maybe now. Like if we were Nest, it would be now, right, 3 months away. And it's been very good, though. We were able to find a great pool of beta testers, be able to get feedback and adjust the product a little bit. So it's been a good time for us, but it's going to be really nice when people are cooking with it.
And when or where will people be able to buy it? Through your website? Do you guys have any retail deals in place?
We are talking to retailers. It'll be on our website for the foreseeable future. There's already a backlog of orders, so just have to ship them out. No sense in going through a few more layers of logistics at this point. But ultimately, you know, we want one in every household. So retail is definitely in the strategy.
Well, Eric, thanks for catching up. I enjoyed kind of hearing that you guys are close. You know, the very detailed blog post, we'll put that in the show notes. And good luck with the launch.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thanks for what you're doing in this space. It's really exciting to you know, see all these players and really be able to cook better food whenever we want. So it's a great time.
Smart Kitchen Show is brought to you by Technology.fm, Next Market Insights, and the Smart Kitchen Summit. All the music for today's show is created by Paul Tyan, T-Y-A-N. Check him out on SoundCloud. You can now find the Smart Kitchen Show on iTunes or just go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. For season 2, we hope to bring you lots more stories and different conversations and mix up the format a little bit. So stay tuned. And if you want to come to Smart Kitchen Summit, you know where to go, smartkitchensummit.com.